the even-numbered ones, and you'll read the odds. So if you found James 4:10, say amen. All right, I'll start. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren, that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, it is great to be with my friends and family tonight. I appreciate, Father, all the opportunity we've had this week to minister, and we look forward to tonight and to the coming week. Now, Father, bless us as we look to your word. You know the needs that are represented here tonight and on those watching on the internet. I ask, Father, that you would bless them, and God, that you'd meet those needs and answer their prayers, and God, that you would glorify yourself in our life. Holy Spirit of God, speak. Write the words upon our heart in Jesus' name. Amen. You may look this way. How many of you ever read that book that says, all I ever need to know about life, I learned in kindergarten? Who wrote that? Man, you guys are behind on your reading. You know what I'm saying? I know that book's about 30 years old, but I always thought it was kind of neat and comical, because think back to kindergarten. Everything you need to know about life, you learned in kindergarten. What did you learn in kindergarten? Well, you learned to share, right? Sharing is a good thing. Playing fair, being honest, saying you're sorry. Isn't that good? We like that today. Did anybody have an altercation today on the job and you had to say you were sorry, or somebody had to say they were sorry to you? Anybody ever had? Man, that's good to know. Nobody had a problem on the job today. Okay, that's good. Well, the truth is, don't you appreciate it when people wash their hands and clean up the messes they make and flush? And you know what I'm saying? And put the things away they got out and refilled it if it was empty, and said please and thank you and pardon me. Don't you appreciate that? You know, we think to ourselves that the Christian life can be very, very hard. But the truth is, not if you do it God's way. If you do it God's way, God, it is not a hard life to live. So when you look in James chapter 4, he tells us how to live the Christian life. Look at James and verse 4:10. Going to do a little Bible study tonight. Look at this. It says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself. That means you recognize it and you bring down your pride, because the opposite of humility is pride. Why Proverbs 13 says that only by pride cometh contention. Well, how do you know if you've got a problem with pride? There are 7 signs of pride. Now, first, you can just ask your neighbor or your spouse, and they'll clear that up for you pretty quickly. You can ask my wife, and she'll go, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. You can tell. But the truth is, here it is. Number one, how do you know if you've got a problem with pride? Number one, you're certain you're right. That's right. When you're just certain you're right. That's a sign of pride. Number two, you refuse to listen to anyone else. Number three, you get defensive when somebody starts to criticize your idea. Number four, you make excuses for your shortcomings. Or number five, you lash out at others to deflect the conversation. You have no desire to examine your own life. You have a repeated pattern of misbehavior, and you know who you are. I'm just kidding. Or you pray without repentance. These are 7 signs that you have a problem with pride. Do you get offended easily or often? Do you feel unrewarded, unappreciated, or taken for granted? And if people would just listen or just ask, man, they would realize just how smart you are. Did you ever say that to yourself? Oh, they would just listen to me. If they would just, or how talented you are. They would view things differently. Maybe respect you more. And you think to yourself, I don't have a problem with pride. Well, anytime we prefer ourselves over others, many times it's out of pride. This life we live becomes very difficult if pride is up. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, the Bible says that this is one of the seven things God hates. You think, well, God's a God of love. Yeah, but God has some things he finds very distasteful. He dislikes, he hates them. It says, these six things, yea, seven, are an abomination. I hate these things. A proud look. So how do we battle pride? How do we do this? If any of those were you, if any of those seven or some of the other ones I mentioned, or maybe the Lord's poked at you, maybe you felt the Lord poke. You ever do that on Facebook where you can poke somebody? You ever poke people? Watson, do you poke people on Facebook? You can do that. You can poke people and they're like, hey, I got poked by so-and-so. That's the Holy Spirit of God. When you're sitting in church and you feel it right there in your heart, that's not me. That's the Holy Spirit going, he poked you. Okay? If you just got poked by the Holy Spirit, how do you deal with it? Look at this. Verse number 10, humble yourself. God's way of being exalted is for us to humble ourselves. Look what it says in verse 10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, we've all read the verses in Philippians chapter number 2 that talked about the mind of Christ. Do you remember that one? It's in Philippians 2. It's a very familiar portion of Scripture. In verse 5, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Because Jesus had this mindset, because Jesus was willing to give himself and humble himself and take on that form of a servant to obey the desire of the Father, God exalted him. So number one, we're to humble ourselves. And I think to myself, I don't know if you think this way, but I look at that word yourself in verse number 10 of James 4, humble yourselves. That means I ought to do it myself rather than wait for God to do it. Right? Isn't that what that means? Humble yourself. Why? Because if God's got to take the ratchet to you and bring you low, you're not going to like it. You know what I'm saying? So humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, verse number 11, how do we live this life? How can we live this Christian life and not be so hard? Number one, humble yourself. Number two, look at verse number 11. Speak not evil one of another. This ought to be written on your bathroom mirror. Or your refrigerator, or wherever you spend time in contemplation. This ought to be a little doodad right there on your dashboard. Speak not evil. Look at that. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. That's talking about brothers and sisters in Christ too. You know what I'm saying? Look, I get it. This is hard. This can be very hard for you and I. Why? Because people are messed up. People are messy. Have you figured that out yet? People are messy. I've heard my preacher would always say, church would be great if it weren't for the people. That's what he'd say. Church would be wonderful, you know. And it's kind of a pastor's joke, but the truth is, I imagine school teachers say, school would be great if it weren't for the parents or the kids. Which one? Both. Oh, you would never say that. No, you wouldn't. But the truth is, we're not to speak evil one of another. But it's easy to do it because people are messy. The very center of the Bible is Psalm 118, verse 8, and it says, it is better to put your confidence in God than in man. Why? Because man will let you down. If you hang out with me for 24 hours, I'm going to let you down. Pastor Mix is messy. Everyone's messy. So speaking evil of each other, we give each other ammunition. We do it all the time. Well, let's say Brother Joe's talking bad about me. Does that give me the right to talk about him? Well, it's good for the goose, isn't it? Ought to be good for the gander. That's what we think to ourselves. It's kind of like when our kids were little. Benny would walk up and hit Levi, but nobody'd see it. So Levi would turn around and smack Benjamin, and we'd hear it. You know what I'm saying? We'd hear, ah, You know, we hear the screaming in the back room. And we'd see it. We'd discipline Levi. And he'd say, well, he hit me first. Isn't that what your kids do that? Oh, it's only the pastor's kids that do that. Okay, I get that. Well, pastor's kids, it's like, hey, what are you doing? He hit me first. So what do you say to them? What do? You walk in and go, well, Ben, you know, what goes around comes around. Is that what you do? Is that what you say to him? Doesn't matter who hit first. You don't hit your brother. You're not supposed to hit each other. We learned that in kindergarten. Keep your hands to yourself. If I heard Mrs. Collecta say that one time, I heard Miss Collecta say that every day of every week. Johnny Mix, keep your hands to yourself. That's what she'd say. Now I know what she means by that. You reap what you sow. All right, look at verse 11 again. Speak not evil one of another. Look at this. Unless it's true. Do you see that? Is that what yours says? Well, then you need to get the Baptist version of the Bible, because it seems to be common doctrine that as long as it's true, we can somehow formulate it as a prayer request and talk evil of each other. If you want to live this life's not that hard. If we'll just do it God's way, let's humble ourselves. Let's not speak evil. What is it you say to your kids? If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything. Wouldn't it be easier if we just all follow our own advice? You know what's so cool about this thing? Anytime we lecture our children or correct our children, we ought to record ourselves. And then when you come in for counseling, I'll just cue up your own words and go, here you go. Right? Because don't hit them. Just because he hit you, don't hit them. Just if you've got nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. Keep your mouth shut. My buddy brother, Dr. Yale Mitchell, I was on staff with him. He'd say it was better for people to think you were a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. That's what Brother Yale would say. And it says, speak not evil. Look at this. Speak not evil one to another, brethren. Did anybody ever hear your parents say, can't you just be sweet and play nice? Can't you just share and not be selfish? Now say you're sorry. Verse 11, for no reason ever are we to speak evil one of another. Because look what it says. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. We're actually indicting God's word. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're doing. We're actually indicting God's word here. We're raising ourselves up above God's word. Look at verse number 12. Look at verse number 12. The thought goes on. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Man, we'll indict God. We'll judge another person, another brother or sister in Christ, and we'll be indicting God, saying, God, you're not taking care of things like you ought to take care of. That's what we're doing when we're pointing out fault like that. Well, if you only knew, don't kid yourself. God's got enough evidence on you and me and everybody. Ain't none of us squeaky clean. We're all messy. Look at verse 13. Go to now. You say that today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. You know, it's the same thing when we think we're going to run our lives without ever asking God what he thinks. It's the same kind of stuff, he's saying. When we won't humble our pride, when we talk evil about each other and indict God and say, well, God, you're not taking care of things right because look at her or look at him or look at them. It's just as bad as me going, I don't need to ask God about this. Have you ever made decisions where you didn't ask God about it? What did it cost you? Usually cost me my pride and usually cost me a little bit of my bank account, you know, because I wasn't thinking, I wasn't asking, I was just, I got this. This life's not hard if we ask God about things first. Now, verse 14, he says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. You don't know what tomorrow brings. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth it away. Our life is just as fragile and unpredictable as the person we talk bad about. Our life is just as unpredictable as theirs is. Verse 15, look at it now. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live or do this or that. We should leave things up to the Lord's decision. Everything about our life, we should be asking and saying, well, I'll pray about it, and if the Lord says okay, then that's what we'll do. Life's not hard. It really isn't. If we do it God's way. Because the majority of my problems are self-inflicted. Are you like that? I mean, seriously. You think about it. If we would do things God's way, how many problems would we actually have? The ones he allowed, that's what we would actually have. We would actually have only the problems he allowed us to have for our benefit instead of the messes we make. Verse number 16. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. We get so wrapped up in our pride and we brag about our situation. And what we're really saying is, we're not like them. We're smarter. And we don't make foolish choices. And I heard one guy say, well, if I don't toot my own horn, who's gonna? Well, the answer to that question is God will toot your horn. Because verse number 10 says, if we humble ourselves, look at that. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Well, if I don't toot my own horn, if I don't, God will do it. If I don't do it, God will do it. He'll lift me up. He'll exalt me. If I humble myself and I leave the decision-making process to him and his will for my life. Look at number 17 now. Look at number 17. Let's all read verse 17 out loud because this is kindergarten theology. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Isn't that neat? You know, this life isn't that hard. It really isn't. If we'll do it God's way. If we'll let him actually direct it and have say, it's not that hard. We make it hard. Because of our pride. And because of our pride, we'll talk bad about folks. We'll judge God. We'll judge his law. We'll indict him. Now take your Bible, turn over to Galatians chapter 6. That was the introduction. Look at this now. Galatians chapter 6. We're going to have some fun. Look at this. Galatians 6 and verse 10. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Don't forget that now. Look at Galatians 6 and verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Do you know what that means? Look at that. It says, as we have therefore opportunity. That means every chance we get. That's what that means. Every chance we get, look at that. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. As we therefore have, well, now wait a minute. Do you always feel like being generous or hospitable or using manners? Not in my house. We have a real struggle there with manners in my house. Do you have that problem at your house? You feel like being generous every day? Well, no. Nothing in the Christian life, though, is based on feeling. Nothing. There isn't a thing in this Bible that says we get to obey if we feel like it. We get to do good unto every chance we get. Now, we get to do good unto people if we feel like it. Or if we think it's the right, you know, if we think it's the right thing to do. No, it's about what God said. It says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That means we are to do right because it is right, not because it feels right. Because doing what's right and doing what's hard is typically the same thing. And if I've said it once, I've said it 100 times to my kids. We do what is right because it is right, not because it feels right. The feeling comes later. We do what's right. As we have therefore opportunity, look at it now. Look at that verse. As we have therefore opportunity, we do good unto the people we like. Is that what your version says? Everybody's not got the Baptist version, I'm sorry. We only have to do that to the ones we like. Or we only got to do that to the people who are pretty. Or to the people who have means and can owe me a favor. That's who I'll do good to. I'll do good to people who can owe me. Because this is the town of power broking and favors, right? I'm pointing in the wrong direction, aren't I, Brother Jim? It's that direction, right? The town of power broking and favors, and I'll be nice and I'll do good. But if that's not really true, then why do we live that way? As we have therefore opportunity, every chance we get, let us do good unto all men. Right now, there's two groups of people in this room. There are those who are under conviction and those who feel like nobody that's ever good to me. I'm not taking a poll. I'm not looking. Right now, I want you to say to yourself, this message is for me. Say it now out loud. This message. No, look at the person next to you and say, this one's for you. You get it? Okay. Right? Some of you had fun with that. And the truth is, it is. It's for me too. Because I'm to do good unto everyone as every opportunity I get. As you have, therefore have opportunity, do good unto all men as long as it's convenient. Is that what your version says? As long as it's convenient? You know, the Christian life is rarely convenient. I was having a conversation with a young couple over the phone who's looking for a place in the ministry. And I said to them, I said, you realize crises rarely happen between 9 and 5. Right? And if you were a paramedic, you think to yourself, when's the hot shift? It's got to be during the day. And that typically, no, it doesn't. The phone never rings from 9 to 5. Do we only supposed to do good to all men when it fits inside my schedule? Is there a spot on your day timer? I don't know about you. I'm still old school. I got a day timer. Is there a spot on your weekly schedule? Okay, I can do good from 1 to 1:15 on Thursday, second Thursday of the month. Got you covered. We got it. We're good. I at least have it on my day timer, because if it's not in my day timer, it doesn't happen. Anybody else live like that? If it ain't in your schedule, it don't happen. The Christian life is rarely convenient. But I'll tell you that our entire existence here in America is based on convenience. From convenience stores to fast food to high-speed internet to browsing helps. Man, we clicked on something the other day. Ms. Mick's like, what do you want to do for vacation? We're like, I don't know. I've never been on a cruise. So we're looking at cruise, right? We looked at cruises one time. And now every internet page comes up with a, how would you like to go on Royal Caribbean or Royal Norwegian? Or they've got a lot of royalty out there on ships, you know what I'm saying? And how would you like this? And it's convenience. You just click here and we'll show you how to get $400 free cash on the boat. And you're like, what? And how did they know? It's a life of convenience that we live. But you realize Christianity is not about convenience. It's not about just the people we like. It's not just about people who look like me or act like me or talk like me. It's a lifestyle of duty and sacrifice. We are to do good. Well, what is good, Brother Mix? Well, God will show you in each and every instance. There are a couple of folks in the church right now that if you're interested in a daily discipleship or a weekly discipleship, I do that. You know I do that. Many of you know that. Well, I'm doing that with a couple of folks right now. And in their daily walk with God, they ask God, who is it that you want me to encourage today? That's their prayer time. They'll tell me, man, God's so cool. He told me to such and such, man. I can't wait to get with you and tell you about it. They'll pray and they'll say, God, who do you want me to encourage? And they'll pause. And God will bring somebody to mind. And they're like, yeah, I called my old buddy, blah, 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 I hadn't talked to him forever, but God said, call him. I talked to so-and-so, and they said, man, you made my day. And there's just story after story of that. God will speak to you and tell you about doing good to somebody. Now, this is the opposite of evil. This is not complex. It says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good. Now, I think the number one reason a lot of us are miserable is because we don't have the be sweet, play nice, and share down. Use your manners, apologize. Number two, folks are miserable because it's about positional reality. It means how I view you determines how I treat you. If I look at you and I value you, well, then I'll treat you nice. I look at Joy and I say, well, Joy, you know, I like Joy, so I'll be nice to Joy. Or I'll look at Brother Jeff and I'll be like, well, Jeff's leaving, so I, you know, whatever. Jeff's too old, so I'm not going to be good to Jeff. But I like Linda, so we'll be good to Linda. And we start grading people. And we negate the Bible where it says all. We're to do good to all. Whether it's convenient or not, whether we like them or not, whether they can do good back to us or not, it doesn't matter. Well, he did me dirty. So what are you going to do, hit him back? Don't try that at the job tomorrow. That doesn't work. There's no future in it. Well, you don't know. They took my stapler. So don't hit him. I wouldn't hit him for it. I just wouldn't. Well, I'm going to take his stapler. I just don't know. Does tit for tat work where you work, Brother Watson? Does it work for where you work, Brother Jeff, down at the Pentagon? Does that work? Tit for tat doesn't work, does it? We're to do good every chance we get to all men without qualifying them by their value, their color, their history. We're to do good unto all men. This is how we live the life. Well, Brother Mix, we just don't click, and we're just not compatible. I got news for you, brothers and sisters. God doesn't call talent into his kingdom. He calls people with personality into his kingdom. And not everybody has the same personality that you do. You know, church can be a lot like 7-Eleven. I like 7-Eleven. We call it the men's vice store. Everything bad for you is down there. I love it. It's great. It's a great place to go. But just like 7-Eleven, the church can have stuff that's sweet and salty in the same room at the same time. But we're to do good unto all men. Remember, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Well, what about the brethren that aren't real pretty or don't smell real pretty or... What about the brethren that aren't fun? Is there brethren that aren't fun sometimes? Can we as Christians be not fun to be around sometimes? Huh? Yeah, okay. We are like porcupines getting close on a cold night. And the closer we get, the more likely we are to stick each other. You know what I'm saying? But remember, we're to do good unto all men. Life's not hard if we just do it God's way. If we humble ourselves, if we don't talk bad about each other, if we'll do good unto each other. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially of them who are of the household of faith. It's just not my place to judge people and determine whether they're worthy of my goodness or my kindness. It's called being stingy. You think about it with money. But if you could think of your goodness as a commodity to be given away, your benevolence, you hold it back when we judge folks. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Psalm 34 in verse 11. Look what it says. There are some benefits to doing good. Look at Psalm 34 and verse number 11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I'll teach you. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? I mean, who doesn't want that? Keep thy tongue from evil. Now, look at it. It says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Now, that's pretty interesting. It says, seek peace. You have somebody at your office that always seems to be looking for a fight? Always looking for a fight. They're not feeling good unless everybody else is on edge. How do we overcome evil? What does the Bible say? It's in Romans, Sarah, it's one of your favorite verses. What is it? It's Romans chapter 12 and verse 21. We overcome evil with good. So it says here in Psalm 34, he says, seek peace. in Proverbs 17 and verse 9 and in Proverbs 17 and verse 19, listen to what the Bible says in those verses. Proverbs 17 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends." Verse 17, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." It means consistently is there for you during adversity. Seek peace. Well, don't air people's dirty laundry. Don't always be looking for the negative. Because the opportunity to do evil is always present. Do you know why? Do you know why that is? Because we're sinners. And I give you plenty of ammunition just by being me. Isn't that what we do? We give each other plenty of ammunition to talk bad, to judge. This life's not hard. If we'll just humble ourselves, keep our tongue from speaking evil of each other, if we'll just do good every chance we get, we're going to see it happen. Look at Romans chapter 12 again. Romans chapter 12. Well, I don't understand how to do this on the job. I don't know how to translate this into the cubicles I work in. Well, in Romans chapter 12, in verse 21, it says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Well, how does that work? Look at verse 17. This is how you overcome evil with good. Romans 12 and 17, "Recompense to no man evil for evil." That means don't dish it back out when it comes your way. Don't dish it back out. Just because they're like that doesn't mean you have to. Don't dish it out just because they throw it at you. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. You will stop evil in its tracks. Verse number 18, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." That means to seek peace. To seek to be at one. That doesn't make you a punching bag, and that doesn't make you a doormat. But the truth is, if verse number 17 says, if I won't dish it back out when it comes my way, and if I will try to live peaceably with all men, verse number 19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." That means I'm to trust in God to right the wrong. You know, God's better at revenge than you are. He is. In my office complex, we had this, somebody had ate everything of their lunch except a pickle. And that pickle was left in a Ziploc bag. And after a while, that pickle became a science project. It started to grow things, okay, outside of it. Well, for some reason, it became a joke in the office for the pickle to float around. Meaning, you'd just walk in one day and the pickle's in your center drawer. You know what I'm saying? And then you're like, oh, man. And when everybody goes to lunch, you're waiting to see who's watching and make sure that you're walking around the cameras so nobody can see you. And you slip it in your secretary's drawer. You slip it in sales. And we'd always see who got the pickle that morning. That was what we would do. And for a while it got fun until it got to the supervisor's desk. I don't know who the idiot was to put him in the supervisor's desk because I'm not that dumb. But the pickle got in the supervisor's desk. You know, when I had the pickle, I should have just threw it away. I know it's all fun, it's all good. But until when Dennis got it, it wasn't fun anymore. You know, some days you're going to wake up and you're the guy holding the pickle. You know, you're the guy who's got it in your center drawer. And you have a decision to make. I can either pass this mess on. You know, if people keep coming to your desk and dumping their dirty garbage, their rotten attitude, their critical spirit, it's because you're letting them dump in your space. You need to overcome evil with good. You know, in the church setting, I've taught y'all, if somebody is gossiping and saying, well, did you hear so-and-so, such and such and such, we need to pray for them. I've taught you to say, no, let's go tell the preacher. I'll go with you. When that stops it in the church. But in the office, you need to go, hey, let's just have a word of prayer right now for them. That'll stop that. But if you don't, they're going to keep coming and dumping in your cubicle. Their negativity, their critical spirit, their rotten attitude. And you're just going to keep taking it as long as you take it. But if you'll say, you know, I didn't know that, let's have a word of prayer. Majority of the people in your office are going to hightail it and run because they don't want to get caught on camera having a word of prayer in the cubicle. Right? Overcome evil with good. Because you can only take that so long before your attitude starts to dip. Your spirit starts to get crushed. Your soul starts to feel it. I love Miss Linda brought up a cool word from my childhood on Sunday in Sunday school. You start to feel icky. You start to feel really icky. Isn't that what she says, Miss Man? You start to feel icky. Overcome evil with good. Number one, don't dish it out when it comes to you. Stop it in its track. Number two, seek peace. Number three, trust the Lord. Verse number 19, God is better at this job of vengeance than you are. Verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And some of you are thinking to yourself, because you don't understand the cultural reverence, cool, I'll just pour those coals right on their head. Huh? And some of you, that is not how that works. It means you're actually being a blessing to them. It's a blessing. You're to be a blessing. When they're bringing it to you, listen, you overcome it by being a blessing, by doing good. The Bible says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good. And the Bible says in verse 21, look at it, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. This life's not that hard. It's really not that hard. When I find myself feeling on the defensive, I ask myself, why? Is it because your pride's hurt? I mean, there's a lot of times I don't like admitting I'm wrong. Anybody else like that in here? And I even hate it more admitting when someone else is right. I would rather admit I was wrong than admit you were right. Why is it? It's pride. When I start feeling a little unappreciated, a little unrewarded, or I start getting the molly grubs, I say to myself, is it because you're proud? Is it because you've got a pride problem? Is it because, and I lower my pride and say, you know what? I'm just blessed to be on this side of the dirt serving the Lord. Because what I really deserve is to go to hell. That's what I really deserve because I'm a sinner. I deserve to die and go to hell. That's what I deserve. But Jesus took my punishment upon the cross, and he gives me his life, and his life is living through me, and it is actually Christ who is trying to do good through me. It's his life, not mine. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. It is he that is trying to live through me. So I'm to overcome evil with his good. I'm to overcome negativity. Why? By speaking good rather than evil. And I am to let him do good through me every chance I get. It's true, there are some folks in your office that are not fun to be around. And it's true, there are some folks in your office that are a drain and not a battery. This is how you keep from being a drain. This is how you become that bright spot for Christ. It's doing good. And overcoming evil by doing so. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You can stop evil in its tracks, but only through good. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Your office can be the place where people come to fellowship with sweetness. It doesn't have to be a dumping ground. Our Father and our God, we love you, and I am thankful for the challenge you've given us in these scriptures. The challenge of doing good with every opportunity. The challenge of knowing that to do good and not doing it is sin. Father, it is a blessing to know that others are doing good, and I'm the recipient of it so much of the time. Father, let each and every one of us be your person where you have us. In that job, in the school we're at, in the neighborhood we live, let us be your person where you can do good through us. Speak to every heart and every soul right now, Father. If there's one among us that's lost, may they have the courage to come and confess their sin and be saved. And for the rest of us, God, speak to us now about our daily life. In Jesus' name, amen. As Mrs. Mix begins to play and sing, the altar's open. We're messy. I get it. but through Jesus Christ and His power, we can do good. We can live this life.
You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My
one. I know there's legitimate times where people are after a piece of your hide, either to advance themselves professionally or to make themselves feel better emotionally. But we don't have to play the tit for tat game. We can overcome evil with good. This all starts by knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you've never repented of your sin and trusted Christ, if you've never been born again, if you've never called upon Him and asked Him to save you because you knew you were a sinner and needed a Savior, you can do that tonight, right now. It starts with salvation.
Yes, where you are, Lord,
you're saved and you know it. Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you filled with the Spirit? Your flesh and the Holy Spirit are constantly fighting. And if you feed the flesh, you are going to act in the flesh. But if you'll walk in the Spirit, if you'll surrender your life to the Holy Spirit, give Him more and more of your life, He will empower you to overcome evil by doing good. Even when you're legitimately being attacked, He'll give you the presence, poise, the forethought. He'll give you the power to overcome evil with good. If you find yourself in a battle right now, you need the Holy Spirit's power. And more so now than ever. Won't you give yourself tonight to Him?
When temptation comes my way.
Maybe you've already had an altercation this week on the job.
And when I cannot stand, I'll follow.
Were you filled with the Spirit at that moment? Or were you in the flesh?
Jesus, you're my.
Did you overcome the evil with good? Or with the pride of just being right?
And when I cannot stand, I'll follow.
If you're in the right, God is your defense, brothers and sisters. But if you're in the wrong,
Jesus,
you just don't have a defense. You're just wrong.
And stay.
We'll humble ourselves. God will exalt us.
Lord,
I need you. Oh, I need. Can you sing that song with her?
Every hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness.
Our Father and our God, we need you every single day, every hour of every day, Father. We know we're in a battle with the flesh, the world, and the devil. And Father, we know that you're more powerful than they are. And Father, we ask you to live your life through us, that others would see Christ, that they would experience your love. God, that they would hear your voice of comfort. And God, that we would seek peace, that we would be known as your children. Father, as we go from this place, God, let us cross paths with somebody who needs the gospel this week. Someone we can just invite to church and share our faith in the one who's come for us and will be coming again. Bless us now as we go our separate ways. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. May I look this way.